You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Like some bad movie.
Oh man, we
how does it feel
like a complete onion? Listen, growing up it was cool to not like Bob Dylan. I've grown to appreciate him as an adult. I do like a lot of his music now as an adult. But when I was younger, my teenage years, adolescent into teenage years, and even into my early 20s, I was like, I don't know. And then, you know, now I'm in my 40s and, you know, the 30s and 40s, I've grown to appreciate a lot of his music more. But you still do the Bob Dylan like this. It's just so much fun. How does a guy that sounds like this make $1 million?
Oh, I mean,
it's kind of like Neil Young. I feel the same way about Neil Young. I growing up, I thought this guy sang out of key, but there's a ton of songs that I really like from him now. I don't know.
Yeah, so I also am fond of his music. I'll say that.
Yeah.
And so this film is a biopic about. Now it breaks one of my rules about biopics, and I'm sorry my camera keeps fading in and out. I don't know what's going on.
You're not as bright as you were before we started recording. It's not horrible, but
it keeps refocusing, and I don't know why. I hate this camera, and I'm trying to get the other one to work again.
See, now that looks good.
It's gonna do that on and off, and I apologize.
Oh,
anyway,
awesome.
Stupid camera.
it just went black and white for a nanosecond.
Yeah. So I'm going to displease a lot of people that listen to this. Because I'm sure a lot of people like this movie, and I didn't like the film. But I want to preface it by saying, but my main problem with it is that it's just boring.
Yeah, you know what? I could tell you what. If this film came out when I was in my, you know, it's cool to hate Bob Dylan phase, I'd be right there with you. But as someone who appreciates his music now, I dug the movie.
Well, I dug it. Well, it breaks my first rule, which is I don't like biopics of people that are still alive. I think it's cheating.
He's barely alive. He's almost like Woody Guthrie. almost.
Joan Baez is still alive as well.
She is.
Yeah. So that breaks the number one rule. Number two rule is I like Bob Dylan music, so why the fuck am I listening to Timothy Chalamet for 2 hours singing his songs?
He sang.
If he wants to start a cover band, that's great. What does that have to do with this movie?
Well, listen. I think what you're missing here is you have to appreciate the fact that he sang over 40 songs for the making of this film. They obviously didn't use all 40, but he sang over 40 songs, and he played the guitar and the harmonica on all of them too. Now,
yeah, good for him.
Yeah, listen. I don't think you listen. I'm
good. That, great. If I cared about a musician, that might mean something. But
listen. You're underappreciating what he was able to do for this movie. There are plenty.
I definitely am.
Listen, you are 100% not like they're. Listen, they could have phoned this in, and they could have dubbed the audio and he could have lip-synced to it. And you know what? It wouldn't have been as good a film if he did. So I applaud him for learning how to play guitar, learning how to talk like Dylan, learning how to sing like Dylan, and playing the harmonica exactly like you're listening to the original track. Listen, I'm going to... This is the hill I'm gonna die on.
Are you okay, Joey?
I'm all right. I'm doing good. This is the hill I'm gonna die on. I think you're underappreciating what went into this. I really do.
I just don't care. Yeah, so I agree with you.
Okay. So now that we've gotten that out of the way,
great. Let's talk about, since it's a
Scott
movie.
Scott is clearly not picking this for Best Picture. Clearly not picking Timothy Chalamet for Best Actor.
Since it's a movie that's supposed to be entertaining and tell a story, let's talk about the story. My first complaint is that it's called A Complete Unknown, but he's only a complete unknown for like the first 15 minutes of the film.
Yeah, well, they do that with musical biopics. They pick a track from one of the, like the Bruce Springsteen movie that's coming out later this year, which may or may not get the same kind of attention this did. I don't remember what song that they picked, but it's the name of the movie is the name of one of Bruce Springsteen's songs off the Nebraska album. So it just,
I know poetry books are named the same way. They take a line up from a verse.
Oh, you know what I did want to bring up? Yeah. So I listened to last week's episode where you corrected me about the film that Adrian Brody won his Oscar for, and I said it was The Pianist, and you kept saying piano.
No. You kept telling me I watched it, and I was like, no, I didn't watch it. I wasn't saying whether or not it was an Oscar film.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I called the film, I said the film that he won the Oscar for was The Pianist, and you said, no, it was The Piano. And I said, are you sure? I thought it was The Pianist. And you're like, no. It's The Piano. And we ended on that.
I don't remember saying that.
Well, I just listened to the episode this morning. So I want to clarify that I'm right.
I was arguing about what film I saw.
I'm right.
I think you're mishearing it because I feel like I was saying something else.
No.
I know the difference.
There was a bit of a confusion about Timothy Chalamet. You said he's dead to me. And then I thought you were talking about Adrian Brody because of his performance in The Pianist. That's how the whole thing got started.
Anyway,
I listen. I just needed to correct that because it was bugging me all week. And I'm
okay.
Like,
I didn't even think I said that. So, okay.
I just need it on record. That's all. I need it on record. So, do you understand?
So another thing I'll say against A Complete Unknown is that it's boring because it's completely by the books for your typical take an artist that's a famous artist, whether you know. Pick an art. It doesn't have to be music. It could be an actual painter or something like that, or an actor. But take the artist. We show them at humble beginnings. Then we get the big break. Then we get the rise of stardom. Their struggle with stardom, whatever debauchery there is, sex, drugs, other women, other men, whatever. Then there's the big climactic point where they make a stand. There's a fall, and then there's a comeback at the end. Usually it involves a stand against, authority, or against some kind of struggle, some big obstacle they overcome in their career. For Elvis, it was like daring to sing the songs that he sang when they were trying to shut him down. For Walk the Line,
which is also James Mangold who directed this, also directed Walk the Line as well.
And then God damn it, what's the name of it? Never mind, moving on because I can't think of the name of the film. But like this is a reoccurring theme. It's very by the books. But all these other ones had big climactic things. Bohemian Rhapsody, you have the big, the comeback afterwards. But with this one, what's the big thing? Oh yeah, that one time he played electric guitar. I could give a shit.
Well, you have to understand, he was a folk singer and he wanted to go electric. And then this movie,
I understand,
is based on the book Dylan Goes Electric, and it was considered a big deal that he did it because he didn't start off with electric instruments. You know, thinking about James Mangold directing Walk the Line, and this, and Johnny Cash was in this, who was portrayed in this for a short time. I'm surprised he didn't get Joaquin Phoenix to reprise that.
He's too old. I saw that. He would have been too old to reprise the role for playing how young he was at the time of the film.
He is older. I just don't know.
That's what I read.
Movie magic, man. I just figured they'd figure that out.
Don't encourage the use of AI de-aging software,
no,
sir.
No. I'm talking about strictly makeup and hair. Stop.
There's only so much you can do with that to de-age somebody.
I mean, how old is Joaquin Phoenix? What is he, like 51?
He's like in his 50s. Yeah, he's in his 50s. You're playing a character that's in their like late 20s, early 30s at the most.
Yeah. Well, listen, it didn't happen. I'm just surprised it didn't. That's all.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying I read that was the reason why. That's
all. Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. I also read that the working title was Electric, and I was like, okay, if they had named it Electric, I would have cared a bit more about the electric guitar part at the end.
I think that's a shitty fucking name. I'm sorry. I think it's fucking stupid.
Well, they agreed with you. That's why they changed it.
Man, I don't have to be in the writer's room, producer's room to know that that's a fucking shitty name. That's fucking terrible.
Hey, I gave this.
But it had an exclamation point on it too.
All right, and I'll give the credit that yes, Timothy Chalamet does his impersonation of Bob Dylan great. And if I thought impersonations was what I wanted in films, you know, that'd be a different thing. But I don't anymore. I gave the film a chance, and it hits all the points properly. You know, it uses the TV for passage of time, so we don't have the year showing up on the screen every so often. Very well done.
James Mangold knows what the fuck he's doing, and I can't wait. I cannot fucking wait for his Swamp Thing movie.
But I'm not impressed. You know. Honestly, remember how I said that watching Emilia Perez made me appreciate Wicked more?
Yeah.
This film makes me appreciate The Brutalist more.
Stop.
I'm dead serious.
I like this film. I don't think it's going to win Best Picture.
I'm not saying it's a bad film. I'm saying it makes me appreciate a good film.
Okay. All right. Listen, I don't totally disagree with you. For what it's worth, The Brutalist is a better film than this. There's no doubt about it. But I still enjoyed this movie. So, as far as for all the films that we've watched, would you put this right above Emilia Perez then? Because it seemed everything else that we watched you liked more. Even Conclave.
I would put this on the same level as Conclave, where it's like, you know, at the end, I'm just not impressed. They're not great films. They're not like a best picture film. They're like, oh, you know, they didn't lift the medium to above or, you know, they didn't create something new. They're just passable. That's all.
Well, I mean,
not bad. Emilia Perez is bad.
It's terrible.
But those are just
fucking
like
bad.
Passable, you know. For me, that's just, you know, we're holding films to a higher standard here. That's why it's given an award.
Okay,
and that's my position on that. That's all. I mean, for a film itself, I would give it 7 stars. I don't know how you feel about that
on IMDb, like our rating system. Yeah, I would give it a 7.
I mean, I think that's fair enough. It nails everything it wants to. Its only sin is maybe the sin's mine. You know, just being a bad audience member, but
No. I think
it doesn't do anything.
Let me put it this way. For me to give it an 8, I'd have to be, I mean, I'm impressed with Chalamet doing, I mean, even Ed Norton and what was her name? Monica Barbaro. Let's see, supporting role, Monica Barbaro. They all played their own instruments, and they all sang all the songs. And they all did it live when they were filming the movie. So, I mean, that's a huge accomplishment to me. With that, there's no way this film gets lower than a 7. Could I be talked into an 8? Yeah, I could, but I think 7 is appropriate for this. What's interesting is most of this film was...
I wish their band luck.
Most of this film, most of it was filmed in New Jersey. And at the yeah. end, all of the Rhode Island, the Newport Folk Festival, mm-hmm. all of that was shot in Cape May, New Jersey. They actually shut it down. They shut down that part of Cape May for...
Shut it down!
I think 3 weeks, a month, something like that, to film all that stuff. What's interesting is the end of the movie... some of the last scenes that were at the hotel with the pool and all that, where they were having the party and that's where they were staying. Mm-hmm. I've stayed at that hotel in Cape May, and the room that Joan Baez was going into, I couldn't make the number out. I believe it was 113. That's the room I stayed in. If it was 113, I just thought that was kind of neat. Okay. I mean, when they're walking by to go to this hotel, and I'm like, I texted Mayor because I was watching and she wasn't. And I texted her a picture. I go, we stayed at this fucking place, didn't we? And she was like, oh my God, yeah, because the name of it was different. They obviously changed it because it was supposed to be in Rhode Island. But then when she went into that room, I'm like, holy shit, I stayed in that room, I think. I just thought that was, it's just cool, you know? I just kind of thought that was neat. And I'm a sucker for anything that's filmed in Jersey. I'm always...
Yeah.
A piece of it was filmed in Belleville, which I believe was the hospital portion, which you know that hospital. That's the one on the way that we used to go to Doug's, that hospital mm-hmm. that's on the corner. They use it for Joker 2 for the insane asylum. I believe that's the same hospital. And they use it for this, for the Woody Guthrie scenes. So, anyway... I don't know. I just love that stuff. And James Mangold's from New York, and Timothy Chalamet's from New York, and whether they like to admit it or not, they know about Jersey. That's all. That's all I'm saying. That's it.
How many awards is this thing up for?
I don't think it's as many as the others. 6 or 8? Let's see. It's up for 8. Let me pull up those 8. We have Best Sound, Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor in a Leading Role, Timothy Chalamet. We have Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role, Monica Barbaro. We have Best Supporting Actor for Ed Norton, Best Adapted Screenplay, Jay Cox and James Mangold, and Costume Design. Those are the 8.
I'll give it Best Sound. That's the only one I think I picked it for. I really don't see any other category where
I
there's not something
I
else
not,
that's better.
I did not pick it for Best Sound. I picked another Timothy Chalamet movie, Dune Part Dune 2. I mean, that is just a huge movie. That is just, if you have the right sound system, that just is a gorgeous sounding film. Yes. I get
what about
it. This,
Bob Dylan?
This is a movie that plays Bob Dylan music, but you know what? I got a stereo. I have a sound system. I can listen to it that way. I am not a firm believer of musicals or movies that have music or biopic music. Yeah. Music films should get Best Sound. I don't think it should. I think the movies that are really breaking this, we'll call it the sound barrier, where it's like movies like Dune or even Wicked, you know, it just, where you have to create that, you have to create nature and you have to create violence and you have to create all these different things, and your rear sound speakers are going crazy. Shit's happening in there that you don't even know is happening unless you have a surround sound. Listen, movies like Dune 2, all day long should be getting sound. Are they going to pivot and give it to this? I don't know. Maybe. I don't think it should. Mm. But we'll talk about that more when we do our next episode, which is Scott and I fill out our ballots, and we talk about what we pick.
Our predictions.
Yeah, and then next week we'll go over and see who wins.
Yep.
I have no confidence.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good this year.
I do not feel good this year at all. I think that there is so many variables, just too many.
All right. Well, we'll talk about them next episode. So thanks everybody for tuning in.
Yeah. So it's currently a 7.6. So we rated it lower, but I think it's okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and end this. And this is episode 439 of Movie Sucktastic. Mm-hmm. Thank you for always joining us. Go to our website at moviesucktastic.com. You can listen to the show, download the show. You can click on the YouTube link and it'll take you right to this video. You can go to iTunes and you can listen to the show there as well. You go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and see everything that we post. If you want to email us, it's themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. If you want to leave us voicemail, it's 908-514-4470. If you want to download our podcast player, it's at moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk. You can also download your favorite podcast player and do a search for us. Also, our show is now on Spotify, which is fantastic. We were able to finally get that done. And do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Yeah, Timothy Chalamet can just fuck off the Wonka land. I'm done with him.
I don't think I like that.
Good.
Leave the kid alone. He's just a boy. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next when we do our Oscar predictions.
Bye.
Bye-bye.